up, everybody? Welcome to Nerdificent. It's your boy, Ibuani Wayne, sitting across from me, as always.
Danny Fernandez, and today we are joined up top by one of our really good friends. She's a voice actor, a host, and producer at Geek & Sundry, and a lot of other channels, Erica Ishii.
Hey!
Hello! I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
I'm so glad that you're here for the Sailor Moon episode, because I don't know if people know, but you are a voice actress on Sailor Moon.
That is a new thing. It blows my mind.
We're allowed to announce that,
yes,
right?
Yes, okay, yes. Okay. It was wild because usually you have to wait months and months to announce anything and you have to wait for it to come out. But because Sailor Moon is such a huge property and the anime fans are they want to know. They're so lovely and supportive of the voice actors and want to know who they are. So almost immediately after I recorded, they announced at Anime Boston. And so I started getting...
You were still in the booth.
I was like in the booth, and they were like, "Surprise, it's Erica!" And I was like, "Yes, you can't recast me."
Yeah, smart. So yeah, we'll get into all of that and how you got cast and your involvement with us. But yeah, actually, let's start with your involvement. Like, what was your first introduction to Sailor Moon?
Oh gosh, so growing up, I'm Japanese American. And so I would get little bits and pieces of Japanese culture a little bit before they hit the United States. Because I had, you know, friends that would go and family members that would be like, oh, this is the newest toy that's popular over there. Here it is.
Oh, nice.
So Sailor Moon, I started getting the toys and things before I actually got to see it, before it started coming over here. Because back in the day, you really just couldn't get anime.
Oh yeah.
Unless like you happen to get like a bootleg VHS. And I think at some point I did have bootleg VHSs or some recording of it. But I had a toy, one of the Sailor Senshi wands. I think I was actually on a commercial I was playing a little Japanese girl.
Oh, and I forgot that you were also a child actor. Yeah.
And so they let us keep the little toys. That it's in Japan, it's a thing where you get like lots of little toys with their candies, and it happened to be Sailor Mercury's Senshi pen. And I was like, what is this? and you know, I'd get the little dolls and everything. And so that, I guess, Sailor Moon very, very early on. And then it was one of my first anime that I ever got to watch. And I love it so much. It has such a special place in my heart because, I mean, it's this kick butt team of girls. And and also, it was one of the early mainstream Japanese pieces of culture that hit the United States. And I had a hard time of it growing up in a mostly white area. And I got teased for being Asian American. And then suddenly Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z hit and Pokemon. And it was really cool. And people are like, oh, I understand Japanese culture now.
Oh, man, you could have been like, oh, you were talking all that smack. I'm about to get out my face now.
Yeah. Before we get into Sailor Mercury and, you know, the Sailor Senshi and everything that you mentioned, I do want to say, so wait, I remember seeing you. Oh, you like posted one of your acting when you were like a little kid. What else were you in?
Full House.
God, yeah, that's what I was about to say.
That was the meme on Geek
I was about
Sundry,
to say. Okay, yes. So you were in Full House. Yes. Yes, I remember. Okay, yeah. I remember seeing little Erica Ishii. Okay, now I'm ready to move on.
Oh, that's all you wanted to
spread some light out.
I can't tell. I can't tell. Okay, so let's talk about the history of Sailor Moon. So Sailor Moon is a Japanese shoujo manga, which manga, for those that don't know, is essentially comics that were created in Japan, and shoujo being manga targeted mainly towards a younger female demographic. Now, Erica, did you read the manga?
I did. I read the original Sailor Moon manga. It was being put out in English when I was younger, and it's a very different art style than the original show was. The new show, Sailor Moon Crystal,
is
a
new one.
A lot closer to the art style of the original manga.
Okay.
And the original manga was a little more adult and darker and just really beautiful. And I just have fond memories of like tracing it and like trying to replicate that art style.
Yeah. I did that with the manga that I read as well.
What did you read?
Well, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Dragon Ball.
Girl, you already know.
Oh, yeah.
But I was so obsessed with it. And my, I think I've told this story before, but so I was introduced to it from Toonami, and they would accept art submissions from kids that they would then feature on Cartoon Network. And so my brother actually had drawn these beautiful transformations of Goku, the main character, in all of his Saiyan-like transformations. And I was like, why don't you submit this? Oh my gosh, this is so good. It was like my older brother. And I was like, he's amazing. You know, like I looked up to him and I kept bothering him to submit. And then finally, Erica, he was like, I traced them.
Oh my gosh.
When you find out that like your hero, you know, is a fraud.
That was the realization.
That was the realization that your heroes can hurt you.
That's so funny because I feel like that was a big thing at that age, because I remember there was this kid in my elementary school who drew so there's a school out here called Long Beach Poly, and their mascot is the Jackrabbits. And he had a folder from there, and I didn't realize that he had the folder, but I remember he drew the Jackrabbit, and everyone was like, oh, he's so good at drawing, so good.
Oh.
And you remember the tracing paper you would get, right?
Yeah,
that's what he did it on. And so I was like, oh, can you draw me one? He was like, yeah, but I just need a paper like this to do it. Yeah, but this was like, I think, third, fourth grade. So I could not connect the dots. I was like, okay, I guess if I find the paper. And then it wasn't until like years later, I thought back and I was like, he was tracing.
I think another one was Tenchi Muyo.
Oh, yeah.
I was so into the women in Tenchi Muyo. Like, I just wanted to be them. And I used to draw their, like, hairstyles. And, I loved it so much. But, yeah, moving back to Sailor Moon. So that was created in 1991. The original manga is written and illustrated by Naoko Takauchi, who is married to Yoshihiro Togashi, who created Yu Yu Hakusho and Hunter x Hunter.
Wow.
I had no idea
that they were together.
This is because you know, shoujo is the girls' manga, and then shonen is the boys' manga, and Hunter x Hunter and Yu Yu Hakusho are like huge boys' manga. So they are like the power couple.
Isn't that interesting?
Of manga.
Yeah. She created this iconic, truly iconic, and one of the first really superhero team of women in Japanese manga that became so popular. And I like that you said girls, because they were. So the Sailor Moon followed young teenage girls, and the fact that they were vulnerable but still powerful, you know, they still worried about dates with guys.
That's a common theme in a lot of, I guess, both shonen but specifically in shoujo. It's that you have to balance being this superhero or living in this fantasy world with your midterms and liking boys. And it's so relatable, though.
Yeah. Iffy, did you want to talk about our hero, Usagi?
Yeah. The series follows a young girl named Usagi Tsukino, also known as Serena in the dub. That's who I know. I know Serena.
Really?
I don't know Usagi.
I still think of their original Americanized names from the geek dub.
Yeah, all I know is Serena. I never was into Sailor Moon, so I never was like, I gotta go back and watch the subs. I just watched it in passing because it would be on, and it was like paired with DBZ sometimes.
So
Serena, who meets Luna, a magical talking black cat that is searching for the moon princess. Luna reveals that Usagi is destined to save the earth from the forces of evil and gives her a brooch to transform into Sailor Moon. She asks Usagi to form the Sailor Soldiers and find the princess and protect the silver crystal. And as Usagi matures, she becomes a powerful warrior and protects her adopted home planet Earth from villains who wish to harm it. Usagi is depicted as a carefree and cheerful when at ease, but promptly serious and strategic-minded when fighting.
Yeah, that was one thing I always really liked and related to. Usagi was the original sort of adorkable heroine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because she was really
like kind of clumsy.
She was really clumsy, and she was bad at cooking and just silly. And she ate a lot. And overslept constantly.
The very
first episode is her like oversleeping for school and just like running downstairs and being a mess.
Yes. Yeah. She was very likable. But I also remember in that first episode her like crying. I think that was the title. Let me look it up. I think that was like the first episode like was talking about her crying.
She's a crybaby. She was totally a crybaby.
Yeah. I think that was in the title. But anyways, just her being a vulnerable superhero, mm-hmm. you know, and how a teenage girl might act if yeah. she then found out that she was, you know, in charge of finding the rest of these sailor soldiers. So Usagi's critical reception has been largely positive, and she's recognized as one of the most important and popular female superheroes of all time. The names for Sailor Moon's attacks center around the moon, love, mystery, and light. Starting out as a frightened, reluctant girl, often in need of help, she gradually accepts her full identity. She eventually becomes the most powerful sailor soldier in the galaxy, but her capacity for caring for others is shown to be more powerful still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was wild. I just remember kind of getting taste of the beginning of Sailor Moon and taste towards the end when it just seemed like it got so intense. Like there was like a little girl who was with her all of a sudden.
Oh, that's her daughter from the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. so things get really complicated. And I guess what's nice is there's usually a monster a week. And so you don't necessarily need to know everything that happens.
Yeah.
But you know the overarching storylines for different parts of it. So she finds the Sailor Scouts. And then I guess, spoiler alert, it turns out she's the Queen Serenity. And then there's like a bunch of different storylines that go from there.
Yeah. And then there's Tuxedo Mask. He came into the picture.
Yeah, why don't we talk about Tuxedo Mask, yeah. Iffy, that's the next thing up.
Oh, yeah. So Mamoru Chiba, in the dub, he was Darren Shields.
Darian, oh, my God, yes. Darian, oh, my gosh, yeah. And then Mamoru, because, like, the thing is about the new dub and about the new Sailor Moon, like, reissuings is they all have their original Japanese names.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, it was interesting that they nicknamed him Darian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, is that just what fit with the, because sometimes they'll change their names to, like, whatever fits with the lip movement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When they're dubbing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But that's, like, happened in the past where it was like, oh, this looks like Darian.
Yeah.
I actually don't know about that one because, like, Serena makes sense because that's the uh-huh. moon goddess from Greek mythology. Or Serena is, like, and Serenity and the moon and Selena. It's like L's and R's are a thing. Anyway, but, yeah, Darian, I don't know why Darian.
Well, I will let you know that Darian was a student somewhat older than Usagi. As a young child, he was in a car accident that killed his parents and erased his memories. He possesses a special psychic rapport with Usagi and can sense when she's in danger. This inspires him to take on the guise as Tuxedo Mask and fight alongside the Sailor Soldiers when needed. After an initially confrontational relationship, he and Usagi remember their past lives together and fall in love again.
I had the biggest crush on him.
Everyone did.
Yeah, me too.
If he did you as well.
No. But I just knew all the girls at my school would be like, Tuxedo Man.
He's kind of like, you know, before negging had a term, like that was him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He called her, well, in the American dub, it was Meatballhead.
Meatballhead, yeah.
Right.
But
it's like the dongo, like dongo buns. In,
yeah, he would call
Japanese.
Her like bunhead. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would fight whenever they saw each other.
Yeah.
I love those. I'm
He's
always
so mean.
You know, I always love those types of relationships. It's like the Vegeta Bulma, the Aladdin Princess Jasmine. It's the original, like, no, I don't want anything to do with you.
It's true. So
you jerk.
For me, Beatrice and Benedict from Much Ado About Nothing from Shakespeare is I think the earliest
girl,
one that I can remember.
Yeah, I was gonna say Darcy and Elizabeth.
Oh yes, of course, and like definitely Jane Austen heroines and all
yeah.
their all the.
It's like how dare you? Now I have a crush on you.
I know. It's so hard. You think you can change them? They're so troubled.
Yeah, so we had Tuxedo Mask, who, as you can guess, had a mask and wore a tuxedo. Mm-hmm. He had, like, the stereotypical, like, mask. You know, what am I thinking? Like, Phantom of the Opera? No, that was, like, a half face.
He's a domino mask.
Yeah, there we
domino
go.
Domino mask.
There we go. Moving on, let's talk about some of the sailors. So there's several. We have Ami Mizuno, who goes by Amy Anderson, who is Sailor Mercury. So she is a quiet but intelligent 14-year-old bookworm in Usagi's class with a rumored IQ of 300. She can transform into Sailor Mercury, Soldier of Water and Wisdom. And she hopes to be a doctor one day, like her mother, and tends to be the practical one in the group. Was there a particular sailor that you gravitated towards?
Yeah. She's the next one that we were going to talk about, Rei Hino. who is Sailor Mars, and because I love fire, and my favorite color was red, and she was just the spitfire and rebellious, and I really loved her growing up.
Yeah, if you do want to tell us a little bit more about Rey.
Because Rey was Bae for me, so I didn't choose Tetsuya. Like, I was like, that's always like the like hardcore, you know, don't give a dang, like, RPG, not RPG, but anime characters are like, I'm always like, yes. But yeah, Rey, you know, who was Rey Hino in the dub. You know, they really worked hard on switching it up for the dub. So she was an elegant 14-year-old Miko, which I do need to point at the time, I was around the same age, you know. And because of her work as a Shinto princess, Rey had limited precognition and could dispel or nullify evil using special Ofuda scrolls. Even
she's,
in her,
she was a priestess.
Yeah.
I'll say it for you. She's a priestess.
But yeah, no. So even in her civilian form, she was able to like handle. And then she transformed into Sailor Mars, which is the soldier of fire and passion. She's very serious and focused and easily gets annoyed by Usagi's laziness, although she cares about her very much. In the anime adaptation, Rey is portrayed as boy crazy and short-tempered throughout, while in the manga and live-action series, she is depicted as uninterested in romance and more self-controlled. She attends a private Catholic school separate from the other girls.
That I didn't know, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I do know that they all wear their uniform from their school. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the one that you were, Sailor Mars was the one that you had the most, like, growing up, that you identified with the most?
I identified with her the most, definitely, the passion and the fire. In the manga, she is a lot more dutiful. She's like a dutiful shrine maiden priestess. But in the anime, she's definitely the fiery one.
Yeah.
Loved her.
I will say, you know, there was some controversy, I feel like, when it came over here, just because we're so weirdly obsessive with censorship, like, mm-hmm. about their outfits being too flirtatious. I do know that in the dub, they also, like, there are a couple of scenes where they kind of, like, made it look like they didn't have boobs. Which is
Whoa,
so weird.
I didn't.
Oh,
really?
Uh-huh, like the outline. Just even like the outline.
Oh, for the outline. Yeah.
Which I'm just
in the
like
transformation sequences.
Teenage girls have boobs. Like, I got my first bra was like 11 or 12. But yeah, like, it's so weird how like they couldn't even have that like outline of it, and it wasn't even in like a sexual way. It was just in a that's how the female anatomy works.
Right.
When you're in high school. But yeah, there were a lot of things that they ended up in the dub, like, because one of our researchers had linked a video to like some of the changes that had been made from the sub to the dub, and it's just so weird. Like, we see this a lot in, especially with anime when it comes over here, like, just how censored we are about things because we're so weird about sexuality and bodies.
Oh, and I mean, the real big one, of course, is Uranus and Neptune being air quote cousins.
Yeah, yes. Do you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. So Sailors Uranus and Neptune in the original manga are lesbians.
Yes.
They're lovers. And when it was brought over to America, I guess they were still really uncomfortable with that. And so they made it so that they were cousins. And they constantly say things and do things, and their body language is such that I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your cousin, but that was
Let me
was
tell you, I make out with my cousin quite often.
And it was just so obvious. And then also in the manga, they're still, even when it was translated, they were still lovers. And you could tell. So it's a very important relationship, honestly, it is, for LGBTQ representation.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was really heartbreaking that they felt that they had to change it coming over here. But now, with the reissue, they are once again lesbians.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
The one that you're getting to voice in.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll actually get into Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune right after this break. And we're back. So let's talk about the actual Sailor Neptune. So in the dub, she was named Michelle.
Oh my God, I forgot that. Yeah, but she's Michiru.
Yeah. Or Michelle. She's an elegant and talented violinist and a painter with family money. And then, her partner is Haruka, Sailor Uranus. So Sailor Neptune is able to transform into Sailor Neptune, Soldier of Ocean and Embrace. And she worked alone for some time before finding her partner. And she ultimately given up on her dreams for the life of a soldier. Iffy, do you want to talk about Sailor Uranus?
Yeah, which I gotta say, most of my life I just called her Sailor Uranus. So Uranus is how you say it, I think, both scientifically and always. But yeah, Haruka Tenno, called Amara Tenno in the original English dub, is a good-natured, masculine acting girl who is a year older than most of the other sailor soldiers. She is able to transform into Sailor Uranus, Soldier of Sky and Flight. Before becoming a sailor soldier, she dreamt of becoming a racer, and she has excellent driving skills. She tends to dress and in the anime speak like a man.
Now this, who, let me,
let me clarify. So there are different speech patterns and grammar that you use based on your gender.
Gotcha.
And certain like ways of addressing people or addressing your or referring to yourself that is more masculine or feminine forms. It's different than like Latin languages, but there are different ways, and then also
but similar sort of like if I used Spanish male pronouns for my or for myself,
yeah,
instead of being Latina,
sort of, but yeah, like for instance when you say watashi, it's like I,
uh-huh,
sort of, and that's like women, and it's a general use thing. But then, like, if you specifically say something like "ore wa," that's like I, but very like macho.
Okay.
So there's like what macho ways of saying things, and she spoke really macho.
So you would agree with
really cool? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I was like, who wrote this, and what classifies as talking like a man?
Yeah.
Is it just being powerful?
Yeah, no, there's definitely specific
language. I was like, let me look up this research.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, was it just that she liked to lift weights? Because that's a feminine thing, too. But no, you're saying that this actually does check out, that that's how she identifies.
Yes.
Okay, great.
She was very masculine in her forms of speech.
Great, great, great. Let's talk about Sailor Venus, who I don't think that we've gotten into yet.
Yeah.
So Mina, or Minako, who is a 14-year-old perky dreamer, she first appears as the main protagonist in Codename Sailor V. She is a companion cat called Artemis who works alongside Luna. So that was the original black cat that first kind of started this with Sailor Moon, with Usagi, in guiding the sailor soldiers. Minako. Is that me saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Minako transforms into Sailor Venus, Soldier of Love and Beauty, and leads Sailor Moon's four inner soldiers while acting as Sailor Moon's bodyguard and decoy because of their near identical looks. That did always confuse me.
Yeah. No. Well, actually, it was very intentional for that they were supposed to look alike. And actually, it's funny because originally, Minako was operating as Sailor V, sort of this like, superhero within their world.
Yeah.
And she already had her sort of senshi outfit.
Right.
And she was wearing a mask. And I think there was like, there were little plushy dolls of her that Usagi was trying to win. And I guess then eventually they figure out that she is indeed one of the Sailor Senshi.
Yeah, yeah. She was already kind of out. Like you said, she was already a known sailor in their world. Sailor, like, superhero in their world. Iffy, do you want to talk about Sailor Jupiter?
Yeah, Sailor Jupiter makes the boys stupider. No. So Makoto Kino, or Lita Kino, if you watch the dub, is a 14-year-old girl who is a student in Usagi's class and has immense physical strength and was rumored to have been expelled from her previous school for fighting. Unusually tall and strong for a Japanese schoolgirl, she transforms into Sailor Jupiter, Soldier of Thunder and Courage. Both of Makoto's parents died in a plane crash years ago. She lives alone and takes care of herself. In the original anime, she confesses to Seijuro that she has a younger sister who no longer wishes to speak to her. She cultivates her physical strength and domestic interests, including housekeeping, cooking, and gardening. Makoto is also good at hand-to-hand combat, and her dream is to marry a young, handsome man and to own a flour and cake shop.
I mean, don't we all?
It's really funny, though, because, yeah, she's the powerhouse of the group. She's the muscle.
Yeah.
And she's, like, really strong and tough and has kind of a tough voice. But, yeah, she also really likes very domestic activities.
That's so funny. Here's the thing that, like, so I was on a panel when I was on several panels when Wonder Woman came out because of my obsession and love of Wonder Woman. And it was fascinating the arguments that I saw against her when the movie came out, that she was not a feminist because she chased after Steve Trevor and because she, you know, was in love with him and all these things. And I'm just like, that doesn't disqualify you from being a feminist.
Yeah.
You can be a feminist. You can be a powerhouse. You can be, you know, all of these things. You can be strength and independent in yourself and still love men, like still be in a relationship with men. You can also still be bi as well. Like you can date a man, then date a woman, then, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
It frustrated me the things that were taken away from her because she had some of these traditional roles. Like one of my favorite scenes in Wonder Woman is when she sees a baby and she's like, yeah! A baby! Because it's like she is a woman, like she still is this like womanly, like I see her as Mother Earth. That's what I equate her as in the Justice League, that she is like the mother of Earth, that she's like Earth's protector, and like she makes up for what her male colleagues lack. And I don't see femininity as a negative, I'm saying. Like, so I think her loveliness, her belief in humanity, like the kind and compassion that she has, and the fact that, yeah, she might still want to be in love with a man. I've gone off on a tangent, but what I'm saying is that this frustrates the hell out of me when you're not allowed to still be a woman, or you're not allowed to be in quote unquote womanly things, and then you're no longer seen as a superhero.
I am actually really glad that you brought this up, because one of the most powerful things to me about Sailor Moon is it's created by a woman for women.
Yes.
And they still wear its sexy little uniforms, but it's on their terms. And there's this huge diversity of women with their different interests. And some of them are really masculine and some of them are super girly. And they have all these different hobbies and lives and they're well-rounded. And for me... it was this huge indication to me that you could really be anything you wanted as a woman, and you had this choice. And I really loved that about Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is 100% about having the freedom to choose to be who you want to be.
Yeah.
And having that option.
Yes. And I want to say also, Wonder Woman was not chasing after Steve Trevor in that movie. She was chasing after a god, and that was Ares. It just so happened that she thought this man had information that could help her. Anyways, moving on to Sailor Pluto. I'm sorry, I just have to put people in their place. Setsuna, or Trista in the English dub, is a mysterious woman who appears first as Sailor Pluto, soldier of space-time and change. She has the duty of guarding the space-time door from unauthorized travelers. Can you tell people about the space-time door?
Oh, God. I don't even remember that arc, all of it, but... yeah, I just remember that Sailor Pluto is just mostly away from the scout. She doesn't really interact with them much because she's just by that door.
Well, it's interesting that she is away from, because she carries this like deep sense of loneliness with her as well. I think it's interesting some of the issues that they tackle in Sailor Moon. You know, like for people thinking like, oh, it's just a kid's show or whatever, like
right.
They actually have a lot of different issues as far as like relationships and loneliness and your the conflicts that come with trying to do the right thing. And like that, all of those to me, I think resonated with me when I was little and still now. So anyway, she's close friends with Chibiusa. That is Sailor Moon's, this is going to get confusing.
Right.
That is Sailor Moon's daughter. And so let's just talk about her. So she is, in the dub name, she's Rini.
Oh my gosh.
She is the future daughter of Serenity, who is Sailor Moon. She later trains with Sailor Moon to become a Sailor Soldier and learns to transform into Sailor Chibi Moon or Mini Moon.
Chibiusa is very polarizing in that some people find her annoying. Or some people find her really sweet. I remember my sister and I dressed up as Sailor Moon and Chibiusa when I was younger. But yeah, it's funny in the manga and a little bit in the anime too, she has an odd relationship with Tuxedo Mask, her future father, where she's kind of jealous of Sailor Moon's relationship with him.
Yeah
And it's funny, I think that that's still in the American dub, the original American dub as well. It's a little bit there, but I always thought it was a little weird.
Yeah. Yes,
like I want to replace you.
Yeah, but yes, so Sailor Moon's daughter from the future. And I like the arc with her and Pegasus. There's a boy who is a Pegasus in one of the arcs. I remember that poster. I had that poster on my wall with this beautiful unicorn.
Iffy, do you want to talk to us about our final sailor, who is Sailor Saturn?
Yeah, so many sailors. I'm like, man.
This isn't even all of them.
Oh, really? All right, well, Hotaru Tomoe, who has the same name in the dub, is a sweet and lonely young girl. A terrible laboratory accident in her youth significantly compromised her health in the manga. This accident destroyed a large portion of her body, which was later rebuilt with electronic components by her father. After overcoming the darkness that surrounded her family, Hotaru is able to become Sailor Saturn, soldier of silence, destruction, and rebirth.
Whoa, sorry. I just realized that she has the same origin story as Cyborg. Yeah. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know if I put that. She was later put together with electronic components by her father. Dang. Yeah, that's dope.
But yeah, she's often pensive and as a human has inexplicable power to heal others. Sailor Saturn's weapon is her silence glaive, which gives her the power to generate barriers and destroy a planet. However, when she uses that power, she kills herself but is reborn afterwards by Sailor Moon.
Yeah, that was like a really sad arc because Hotaru is really, she was really just sick throughout a lot of it. And she was friends with Chibiusa and yeah, she died. And I was, it was really upsetting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Especially like a character like that who's been through so much and then just like... Wow, that's you're gonna let her die?
Yeah.
But then Sailor Moon brought her back to life, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's a dark arc.
Well, see, they still touched on dark things, even though it was supposed to, you know, a lot of people kind of pass it off as being lighthearted. But we will talk more about actually their first movie, some of the television show, the remakes, the fact that they tried to make it live action and then did make it live action, as well as the cosplay and the future of it, right after this break. And we're back, joined here with Erica Ishii. Erica, before we, can you tell us who you voice in the new?
Yes. So I play June of the Dead Moon Circus. She's one of the villains in this arc.
You're playing a villain!
I know! Oh, no, dude, playing a villain so is cool. The best, let me tell you.
It really is. It
yeah,
really
and
is.
So she is one of a group of these sort of like underlings, and she's the sort of tomboyish, bratty one, sassy one. She's the sassy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's just been so much fun, honestly. And it is so wild. It is so wild because the way that they do dubbing is, you know, they sort of play back the parts of the episode that you dub for and you hear the beeps and you have to match the voice flaps. And sometimes you have had other cast members that have done their dubbing before you do. And so you get to hear them. Sometimes it's not and you just hear the original Japanese. And it's so wild because this is the old episodes that I grew up with and I remember these. And seeing it and being a part of it is something I never could have ever imagined happening. It's so wild.
Did they contact you or is that how that happened?
So yeah, I got the audition. Because I do voiceover and I have done some work with the studio that does the dubbing for Sailor Moon and I've done a couple of other another movie for them, and then they sent me the auditions for this and said, oh, this is the last batch for a little while, and so I auditioned for I think 5 different characters in that pass, and I booked that one and I just could not believe
it. That's so cool.
Could not believe it. But the funny thing is that I had actually done some ADR, some smaller characters for them for Sailor Moon, and those haven't even come out yet, so I couldn't even I couldn't even announce that yet.
Yeah.
And then it just got announced that I was in Sailor Moon, so I said, oh well, okay, maybe I'll just announce that anyway. So, you know, I'm just like a mom and like a monster of the week in some episodes that still haven't aired yet, but now I get to be one of these villains that
that's
has
awesome.
A cute costume, and it's, oh gosh, it's so wild to be part of something that you
grew up with.
Loving.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. Let's talk about, well, so there is a live action Sailor Moon series, which Erica, you saw, you said that you did watch.
Yes, okay. I did.
So I wanted to say before that came to be, there was, in 1995, they attempted to create an American remake of Sailor Moon. So this was by Renaissance Atlantic Entertainment, Bandai, and Toonmaker. They came up with a concept for a show that would be half live action and half Western animation. You can actually see some of it that they created. It sounds really cool. I guess it didn't look good and they didn't think that it would be good. And it was also turned down because it would cost too much than just to dub the anime. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they showed the concept of this at the 1998 Anime Expo in LA, which I didn't even know Anime Expo existed back then.
Yeah.
I guess we'll learn that in our Anime Expo episode. And it's incorrectly attributed to Saban. So if you remember those, Saban is one that did Power Rangers. But like, was very famous for taking these Japanese concepts and then making like live action, you know, or inserting American actors into it. So a lot of people have incorrectly attributed that live action failed remake to Saban, but they didn't do it. But okay, but so they did actually have a live action series. So that was Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon. That was the 2003 TV series. So Erica, is this the one that you watch?
The Japanese one.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I didn't watch all of it, but the costumes are really great. And it's,
oh, yeah. Their
really,
cosplay is on point.
Oh, it's really campy, but really wonderful and loving. And Tuxedo Mask's, well, all of them have the transformation sequences, but Tuxedo Mask's is just literally kind of him getting into costume, and it's so silly, and I love it. I love them.
Yeah. Oh. No, it's very colorful and bright, and like the costumes are amazing. And the series actually lasted for 49 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And also included two separate made-for-DVD specials. So it's, are you looking at a picture of it?
I'm looking at the opening. It's
you can watch.
Great.
I know. You can, I think you might be able to watch some of it on YouTube and. Yeah, I'll try and include
the
link.
The episodes, all the episodes must be out somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
They look so good. This actually looks very good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know why they didn't bring it over. I need it on Hulu. They should. And so, you know, this is kind of just, there's so much to cover with Sailor Moon. So this is kind of just like an intro episode. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about their first ever movie, which was Sailor Moon R, the movie. So that came out in 1993. And was huge. I mean, the fact that they were able to make a movie. One, so the creator didn't even think that it would get past the manga. So it went from the manga to being so popular that it became an animated series to being so popular as an animated series that not only young women watched, but young men as well and adults. Like, everybody was watching Sailor Moon. It was such a big deal. And then they got Sailor Moon R, the movie. I don't know. Do you remember watching that, Erica?
You know, it's funny. A lot of the movies sort of blend together for me. But the one that really stood out to me is the one that sort of starred Luna, the cat.
Oh, uh-huh.
Where she falls in love with this human man and they can't be together. But for just a brief moment, she gets to take a human form and be with him. And he gives her these sugar star candies. It's one that I grew up with, that it's popular in Japan. They're literally just like sugar molded into the shape of these pretty little stars. It's like the ones in Spirited Away.
Okay.
That, yeah, and he gives it to her, and it's just really pretty and really touching and sweet. And I just remember that movie. I remember watching that movie with my friends. And gosh, yeah, the movies were such a treat when they came out. And I think some of them even got to play in theaters in LA here, which is really great. It's great to see them on the big screen.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always dope. I know the few like Funimation films that you get to see on the big screen, you're like, oh, this is tight.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I just love that it's so popular that we're able to do that.
Yeah.
And that they're able to run, because some of those, like if you were saying, some of the Funimation ones had an actual run in theaters.
Oh, yeah, like Your Name.
Yes.
That. I remember I missed the premiere to that and went to see it with my buddies Brody and Binium, and we were like, this is an amazing movie. Then we went to Little Tokyo, got some ramen, really had a weeby day. It was like, but it was, that movie is so good. I heard rumors of them trying to do a live action American version, which
yeah,
I was like,
I think they actually it did get optioned for a live action remake.
And I feel like that's the one anime movie that I think can do that, and it'd be great because I feel like a lot of people didn't see it because it's animated, mm-hmm. because that weird like thing where people are like, oh, it can't be that good, and I think the story's so good that in live action it'd be great. I just hope it's someone who does it right, because if you don't do it right, it's not gonna be.
Thus far we have not had any successful
here
live action.
I feel like Rowani Kenshin was
good.
That
live
action,
absolutely.
That was, I was very impressed. Yeah, that came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and Dragon Ball Evolution.
Just move on. That's very painful.
That was,
okay, so let's talk, before we move on, let's talk about the Sailor Moon that you're working on, which is Sailor Moon Super S.
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us about it?
So Sailor Moon Super S is essentially the reissue of the old Sailor Moon episodes, but with, I mean, because we talked a little bit about how for the original dub with Deke, so much was changed, a lot of things were censored.
Yes.
And so all of it.
Relationships were abolished.
Right. And so now
booby lines were taken out.
Yeah, and the names were changed. Yeah, and so this is.
People were called Darien.
Darien. I still think of the original dub for Luna and Darien. And her voice, she was like this.
Mrs. Potts.
Yeah, she was like. and so this is sort of all of that. But staying truer to the original storylines and the names. And there's a lot of the episodes are out already and available online. And I feel so fortunate to get to be a part of this.
Yeah, I'm looking at Junjun in the Sailor Moon
She's
wiki.
She's so cute, right?
Yeah, and they've already got you on there.
Oh,
they've
did
all,
they
the
really?
Fans already added you.
Oh, my God.
They've already added
Look at you,
you to
on
the,
Wikipedia.
Yeah, on the... On the Sailor Moon wiki, they're
oh
on top
Oh my gosh,
of it.
I haven't seen anyone caught. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Junjun's outfit, which is insane.
Oh yeah,
that's so dope.
She got the harem pants and the little wraparound tee. And my god,
she's hot.
Oh, she is so hot.
Have you seen any cosplay of her?
Not yet. I
people
haven't
out
seen
there
that.
Listening, this is gosh, she looks. Oh
I would
gosh.
Love to see a cosplay of the Dead Moon Circus. I really, really would. Their outfits are so cute. But then also, it's been interesting seeing, because Sailor Moon is so popular, people are starting to cosplay even their street uniforms.
Yes.
Just their normal
I love
outfits.
That. Yeah.
And the 90s fashion is so good. It's so good. And it's, you know, 90s fashion is kind of making a comeback. You know,
Oh, okay. We'll have to post it on our Instagram.
She's
which,
so
by the way,
cute.
If you're not following, the Nerdificent Instagram does post cosplay. So we've had some dope cosplayers on there. So we'll definitely post Junjun so you guys can
Please
understand what
do.
We're talking about. But, oh, man, her outfit almost reminds me of, like, Britney Spears with the snake.
Oh,
with the,
right.
Yeah,
yes,
you know what
the
I mean?
The Slave for You music video. Absolutely. Oh, love it. Yeah, and Junjun is the acrobat of the group.
Yeah.
And so a couple of her episodes are, you know, about her doing that. And she gets
lots
of a lot
effort
of flipping
noises.
Around. Yeah, yes, very. Oh, God.
I know.
I love it.
Just VO things.
There's so many things that we still have to cover with Sailor Moon. Like there was a video game and there's all the toys and action figures. So we'll definitely have to have you back here, Erica, because we only kind of just touched on the Sailors.
I feel like we just kind of barely ran through them and
didn't even get to
so
touch
much.
On all the storylines and stuff. So I hope this was a good introductory episode for everyone so that we can really get into some of the stories and the future also of Sailor Moon. But Erica, where can everyone catch you?
So I'm on Twitter at Erica Ishii and on Instagram as the Erica Ishii. I'm on Geek and Sundry Fridays and Tuesdays for a show about video games and a show where we just basically party in costume all the time. And I have my own Twitch channel as well, twitch.tv/Erica Ishii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank I'm
you
at,
so much for having me.
Oh, of course. Thanks so much for coming. I'm really excited to watch and hear you on my TV screen.
Yeah.
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez. It's MSDANIFERNANDEZ. Iffy and I will both be at Anime Expo. We'll also both be at Comic-Con, and we're on panels together there. So we will be – check out the Nerdificent Twitter feed at Nerdificent, because we'll be posting our appearances and dates. We love all the feedback from everyone. I think that we might – somebody asked if we're going to be answering questions. You know, like, we might start doing a – maybe we'll leave a 10-minute ending thing, Iffy, for questions possibly. You know, we really do try to make our podcast for everyone, which can be difficult because some of you are extremely well-versed and let us know if we missed one single thing. But then other people, you know, need us to slow down a lot. So we're kind of just trying to feel out these introductory episodes. You know, we understand that we haven't covered every. People have been asking us about Dragon Ball Z. I have that tattooed on me, and we have not hit that yet. It is a thing.
We're probably going to have to do it soon because people have been foaming.
It is a thing that I know about the most, and yet I know I will be hit up about because I left something out of it, even though it has like 400 episodes. I think it actually technically Z has like 200 something. But some of these episodes, you know, we're able to kind of wrap up real nice and a neat package, and some of them deserve another episode. So we hear you, we love you, and that's all I have.
All right, cool. Well, you know you can catch me at Iffy Wadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram, IfDs on Twitch. You know, and make sure you're following Nerdificent on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to stay up to date with all that good stuff. Definitely want to give a shout out towards the end of this episode to our researcher, Eves Jetcoat. Christopher Hasiotis, thank you so much for that research work. Let's give a shout out to Zachary McKeever in the booth. Sorry for blowing your ears out. I yelled it really loud. Super producer Anna holding it down for us here. All right, y'all. We out. And like I always say, stay nerdy.